United will absorb Continental in an all-stock deal. Florida finally fixes its use tax law. And Wichita Falls helps Carter build the PAV and the local economy. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, May 3rd, 2010. It's been just over 2 weeks since we reported that merger talks between United Airlines and U.S. Airways appeared serious, and that industry analysts said the whole thing was a tactic by United to get its real merger target, Continental Airlines, back to the bargaining table. Turns out those analysts were right. An all-stock deal reportedly consummated yesterday would value Continental at $3.7 billion, is projected to close by the end of the year, and would see the Continental name go the way of Eastern, Pan Am, and more recently Northwest. The new United would take the title of world's largest airline away from Delta by virtue of United's 700 aircraft and 88,000 employees. Read what this means for management and follow details during the day as unions offer reactions at arrow-news.net. Friday, in the waning days of the Florida legislative session, the Florida Senate passed House Bill 173, which exempts visiting aircraft with no ties to the state from the Florida use tax. With Governor Charlie Crist's expected signature, the law will take effect in July. Under current law, out-of-state aircraft owners who visit Florida within 6 months of purchasing their aircraft are subject to a use tax of up to 6% of the total value. When the new law takes effect, you'll be able to visit Florida for up to 21 days for any purpose, or for an unlimited amount of time within the first 6 months for the exclusive purpose of flight training, repairs, retrofitting, or modification without being subject to the state use tax. Senate President Pro Tem Mike Fasano acknowledged the positive effect the change will have for the state's aviation businesses and for tourism. Quote, "We look forward to welcoming out-of-state aircraft owners back into the state to utilize our world-class aviation businesses and facilities and to enjoy all that Florida has to offer," unquote. The Florida Aviation Trades Association and AOPA are credited with keeping the issue in front of lawmakers until it got fixed. Carter Aviation Technologies made news in November with its deal to license its slowed rotor compound technology exclusively to Textron's AAI division for use in unmanned aircraft. But part of that deal requires Carter to develop its four-place personal air vehicle, which will serve as a development platform for the unmanned craft. That effort has received a major boost in the form of a $4 million jobs incentive program from the Wichita Falls Economic Development Corporation in Texas. The aid is in the form of a no-interest loan with a forgiveness clause if Carter is able to get the PAV into production. This might seem like an iffy proposition in some cities, but not in Wichita Falls. Gary Shores, the president of the development agency, commented, quote, "We have watched Carter's technology develop over the years into what is now considered cutting-edge aviation technology. Wichita Falls is proud of this grassroots initiative and eager to support its growth and expansion," unquote. The PAV, which made a big splash at Oshkosh last year, is said to be in the final stages of pre-flight testing. When it leaves ground successfully for the first time, it will satisfy one of 8 milestones in the agency's funding program. Up next on ANN, Sikorsky has your back with its new EMS litter base. Australia's MOD releases an RFP for new helicopters. And a Bonanza pilot may be in trouble after colliding with a Prius. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 3rd. I'm Paul Plack. Sikorsky has introduced what it describes as a new state-of-the-art emergency medical services interior for the S-76 helicopter. Sikorsky's engineering division in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, teamed with Air Methods Corp., and started working on the project a year ago. The new interior incorporates something called the Articulating Patient Loading System to eliminate back strain while loading patients, open the cabin floor for more storage, allow multiple positioning for ultimate care of patients, provide a lowered platform to perform CPR, and offer multiple options to mount customer-specific gear. Michael Ackerland, Director of Business Development for Swedish customer Norrlandsflag AB, seems pleased. Quote, "Even with all the medical gear installed, the interior is really open and clean. The litter base is absolutely fantastic to use and works very well regardless of the patient's size. There's no longer a struggle to load a patient due to the high lifting requirement we previously faced. The sliding door is obviously a big improvement for patient loading as well." Unquote. Sikorsky is based in Stratford, Connecticut, and is a division of United Technologies. Australia's Minister for Defense, Senator John Faulkner, said Wednesday that the Defense Materiel Organization has released project solicitation documents to the U.S. Navy and Australian Aerospace for the supply of a new naval combat helicopter. Under the project, the government will acquire sufficient helicopters to provide at least 8 aircraft concurrently embarked on ships at sea, which, according to the white paper, requires a fleet of 24. Faulkner said, quote, "The new naval combat helicopter will enhance the Royal Australian Navy's ability to conduct a range of maritime combat and other operations, including anti-submarine and surface warfare," unquote. As announced by the government in February, the new helicopter will either be the MH-60R, built by Sikorsky and Lockheed Martin and sourced through the U.S. Navy, or the NATO Helicopter Industries NH-90 NFH, sourced through Australian Aerospace. A choice is expected next year. The pilot of a beach bonanza landing in gusty winds at Boulder, Colorado on Wednesday reportedly lost control and careened through a nearby field, hit some street signs, and clipped a Toyota Prius just before hitting a utility pole, which tore off one of the plane's wings. The driver of the car, Ken Marco, said the plane hit the rear window of his car, just missing his wife's head, at an estimated 100 to 110 miles per hour. KUSA-TV reports witnesses saw the plane's pilot, 67-year-old Joe Curtis, flee the scene carrying a black bag and spouting unprintable language. Curtis reportedly contacted the FAA and NTSB later in the day, but officials say he may face charges following the investigation. Aviation historians say this is only the 470,000th time that a Bonanza pilot has been spotted exiting his aircraft carrying a black bag. I know. Lame doctor joke. Still ahead, a small town in Iowa gets a surprise visit from the National Guard. The coroner says a mix-up of the bodies was a perfect storm. And you'll never look at drones the same way again. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800 for Cessna.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, May 3rd. I'm Paul Plack. A Connecticut National Guard Chinook helicopter on a ferry flight from Connecticut to Washington State for maintenance landed in an Iowa cornfield last week when the crew reportedly encountered heavy rain and low visibility. The site was near the town of Keswick, population 550, about 50 miles southwest of Iowa City. WVIT Television reports that someone in the crowd loaned the crew a pickup truck for a supply run. They ended up staying overnight in a hotel in Sigourney, Iowa, waiting for the weather to improve. It finally did on Monday a week ago, and the crew continued their flight to Fort Lewis in Washington State. The coroner in Montgomery County, Ohio, says no one will be disciplined for mixing up the bodies of two men involved in a plane crash. Once the mistake was discovered, it was too late. One family had already cremated the wrong body. WHIO Radio News reports that coroner Dr. James Davis called the mix-up a perfect storm, which had never happened before. He had initially said one or more employees would be disciplined after the incident, but sent an email to the Dayton Daily News, which said he had changed office procedures to prevent a repeat of the mistake, but had not disciplined anyone. The victims were aboard a two-place aircraft that went down in rural Union County in Ohio. The error has reportedly been traced to a coroner in Union County who got the two men's wallets mixed up at the scene. And finally today, despite the fact that there were about 73,000 target drones built, very few are left for museums because, well, they were built to be shot at. So when the Spirit of Flight Center Air Museum near Denver went looking for one, they knew they couldn't be too picky. When museum officials got a tip that a Northrop radio plane KD-2R5 shell duck target drone was in use as a weather vane atop a pole at the Horizon Airport in El Paso, Texas, they jumped at the chance to get it. Gordon Page, president of the Spirit of Flight Center, says the owner told him it, quote, had up to 11 coats of paint on it, weighed a ton, and wouldn't be easy to take apart, unquote. But the buyer was undeterred and the deal was done. John Mulvey, president of Astra Air, oversaw the recovery, dismantling, and shipping of the drone. Quote, the thing was full of sand and dirt, had a ton of paint on it, and the engine and prop were in terrible shape. It was also incredibly hard to disassemble after all the years in the desert, and we didn't want to see it anymore after we got it to Denver, unquote. Volunteers have now set about restoring the drone, with the hope of having it ready to take to air shows and other events this summer in the Spirit of Flight Center's 24-foot mobile air museum. Museum volunteer and World War II veteran George Meshko of Denver says, quote, that engine on the drone was a bear to take apart and rebuild. 30 years of sitting in the desert and 10 coats of paint really did a job of seizing things up, but I love working on it, unquote. Well, okay, George, but if you need a clean display model of a McCulloch 088 drone engine, there's a bunch of Benson gyrocopter guys who'd probably be thrilled to sell you one that was recently running. The Shell Duck drone was first built in 1945 by Radioplane, later acquired by Northrop, and one of the assemblers on the production line that year was a young lady named Norma Jean Doherty. Legend has it that promotional pictures, taken by U.S. Army photographer David Conover, looked so fetching that they got circulated around Hollywood, eventually leading to Norma Jean's big break, under the stage name of Marilyn Monroe. The photos were reportedly ordered by Conover's commanding officer, Captain Ronald Reagan. Small world, huh? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller offers thoughts on why flight schools may want to avoid large airports as much as possible. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.